Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. I'm a huge Star Trek fan. The Globe's Hiawatha Bray is a huge Trek fan. So imagine our mutual delight when thinking about Sunday's premiere of Star Trek Discovery on CBS. It's a new Trek series. And I should note, it's on the original Trek timeline, not the J.J. Abrams whacked out alternative timeline where the planet Vulcan gets destroyed and hardly anyone blinks. So as far as Star Trek Discovery goes, let me at it. Except for one thing. After Sunday's broadcast premiere, CBS is booting Discovery over to its digital platform, CBS All Access, and you'll have to pay for future episodes. Not cool. In fact, I'm just going to say it. Is CBS acting like one of the greatest Trek villains of all time?
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Oh, well, joining us now to talk about it is Hiawatha Bray, tech writer for the Boston Globe. Hello, Hiawatha.
Yeah, hi. That wasn't the Picard recording.
No, that was not Locutus of Borg. That was not Locutus.
No, Locutus. That is one of the greatest episodes in the history of Star Trek.
Two best hours of television I've ever seen in my entire life.
End of season three, beginning
of season four of The Next Generation. Okay.
Well, to tell the truth, I was never a great fan of Next Generation because it was too preachy. I loved the original series. Yes, it was.
Are we going to have a fight about that? You cannot.
And I also was partial to Deep Space Nine.
You were?
Because it was darker and more menacing. And one of the producers on that went on to do the greatest science fiction show so far of the 21st century, Battlestar Galactica, which was magnificent.
Okay.
Just magnificent.
Well, I mean, never mind. As far as DS9 goes, there were too many Ferengis on board. I just couldn't deal with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So back to Star Trek Discovery. What do you think about this idea of CBS allowing on broadcast episode one, but then having to make fans pay to see the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, that's just the way of the world. That's the way things are heading, that multiple channels are being used to distribute television content, and CBS is trying to become a player in the streaming market. And I think it's a perfectly logical thing for them to do. I don't know what its long-term future is going to be. I mean, I don't know. How has The Good Fight been doing? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
They currently have the sequel to the TV show, by the way, excellent TV series, The Good Wife, is called The Good Fight.
Uh-huh.
And they are already distributing that on the internet, and I haven't looked at it yet. But if it's as good as the old show, it's probably pretty good. But I don't know what size audience they have. Right now, millions of Americans are watching TV this way, paying subscriptions to look at specific services. And these companies are now fighting like crazy to see who gets the money. You saw what happened with Disney and Netflix, right? You know about that, right? No. Okay. Netflix was putting a lot of their movies. I mean, I was shocked a couple of months ago. The Star Wars Rogue One, which is one of the best of the Star Wars,
showed up on Netflix.
It showed up on Netflix because they had a deal with Disney. But now Disney is saying, no, we are going to set up our own service. We don't want to give all that money to Netflix. And so it started, you know, you had companies like Netflix showing videos from other television networks and other movie production companies. And now these guys are saying, no, we want to get it ourselves. HBO has its own. Showtime has its own. Now CBS has its own. And these guys are each trying to make sure that they get the revenue by dividing it up into their own little streams.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I saw that the head of CBS Interactive said this to Recode, I believe, that the problem is that on the one hand, yes, Star Trek could actually be a major driver for people being willing to pay for CBS All Access online, but that also they were concerned that he doesn't think that sci-fi shows are generally good for broadcast or historically good for broadcast anymore, that for some reason there's something about the genre that doesn't work on broadcast. And I'm a little confused by that because, I mean, you didn't like The Next Generation, but I adored it for its entire run.
Well, I mean, I think it's a mixed bag. And I mean, I don't know where he classifies The Walking Dead. I would assume that that is sci-fi. I don't know where he classifies Game of Thrones. Oh, I'm sorry. He's talking about broadcast.
He's talking
about broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, no, in that case, he might have a point. I'm trying to think. Have there been any really substantially successful shows on broadcast that you would classify as sci-fi? I can't think of any.
No, because latest ones that I've loved, like The Expanse, which I'm obsessed with, is on the Sci-Fi Channel. So that's cable.
That's right.
Also.
I haven't gotten to. I've only
and I watched it all entirely online. I didn't even watch it on cable. I watched it online. So
yeah, The Expanse looks quite good. I've only seen about one episode of it, but it is really quite an impressive looking TV show.
Yeah.
So, and sci-fi has done that.
Yeah. So do you think that there's something about science fiction as a genre that is a good driver for moving for getting people to cut the cable, really?
Well, I don't see why not. Star Trek has one of the most loyal fan bases on the planet, if you'll forgive my saying so. I don't see why you couldn't build this around Star Trek as a franchise. It depends on whether or not the show's any good, I think. That's going to be a major driver right there. Look at what The Walking Dead did for AMC. I mean, this was their first... I mean, Mad Men, everybody talked about Mad Men. Everybody loved it. I love Mad Men. Not that many people watched it. Lots of people watch The Walking Dead. Mm. And that really was a stake in the ground for AMC. So it's absolutely possible if the show's good enough. And they have had a really good idea to set the show in the era right before the Kirk-Spock era.
Yeah.
So we find out how the Federation and the Klingons first came to loggerheads. That's a really good place to start. And I mean, that's an inherently interesting subject that could really draw in people like me who really cut our teeth on the original series. If you can capture the feel of the original series, that's really important. Because it was adventurous, it was daring in terms of the seriousness of the stories, but it was also just plain fun.
It was fun.
People forget.
Yeah.
Star Trek was fun.
And funny, also.
Yes, and it was funny. That's right.
I gotta ask you, wait, do you have your phone in there?
Just beaking in the... I'm sorry, you want me to turn it off? I didn't realize.
No,
it just started.
Don't worry about it. You're just a popular guy. Are people, like, texting you a lot?
Yeah, I can't help it. Yeah, it's popping up all over the place. But before we end this, we really should talk about the really... the serious question that all this raises, which is how many of these streaming independent systems are people going to want to sign up for?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're going to have to separate... if people are talking about cord cutting, but then they turn around and sign up for HBO, they sign up for Netflix, they sign up for CBS. By the time you finish that, you might as well have kept the cord uncut because there are just this almost infinite number of choices now. My wife and I just stumbled across something we found called Walter. Walter Presents. All they show are foreign TV series. And she's from Congo. She speaks French. So we've just watched all the French TV shows and I read the subtitles and it's great. And that's an incredibly small niche, but it exists. There are hundreds of these little niche streaming sites. And if you start signing up for each one of them, you might as well keep cable. But
No. I'm going to say that there's a difference here because if the cable companies allowed me to choose my channels a la carte, then I would keep the cable. But for as long as they don't do that, I have no problem with having 35 different individual streaming services and paying for them
except the cost. It begins to become ridiculous. And no, you do have another point that I should have made clear. Walter Presents, this one that shows the foreign shows, I couldn't have found that on cable. It doesn't exist anywhere else. That's the big advantage of streaming. Some of these things are stuff you will not get anywhere else. There's this one, I forget the name of it. They're doing movies from the Criterion Collection. You know about that? The company that does classic movie re-releases from the 30s, 40s, 50s. And now they're offering a streaming service for people who love old movies. So you're getting stuff you can't get on cable. And that's why it's going to keep being popular.
Well, Hiawatha Bray, live long and prosper, my friend.
All right, absolutely.
Hiawatha is the tech writer for the Boston Globe. He joins us on Thursdays to debate what's better, DS9 or TNG. TNG wins in my book, and since I'm the host, that's the last word on that. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.